Welcome back to PJ's and Prosecco. This week, we've got my girl, Jean Marie, joining us. Jean Marie is an intuitive business and embodiment coach, and we have so much fun in this episode. We are talking about personal brand, your embodiment, the legacy you want to leave. Like, we are doing it all. I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Hello, babes. Welcome to PJ's and Prosecco. Our show is dedicated to making spirituality fun, approachable, and real. You're already spiritually gifted, so I'm here to help you understand how to use those gifts to create your dream life. I'm your host, Emily Gornick, your certified spiritual coach and mentor, here to make healing, growth, and soul alignment feel less like a chore and more like a vibe by combining the woo with mindset magic. Think deep, soul-stirring conversations with a side of sparkle, hosted in pajamas, Prosecco in hand, of course. So whether we're talking intuition, healing, or manifesting your dream life, just know you belong here. So cozy up in your PJs, grab your Prosecco, and let's dive in. Welcome, Jean Marie, to PJs and Prosecco. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much. And I have to tell you, and I waited to tell you this until we recorded because I feel like you would really appreciate this moment, is literally I was getting ready and then 5 minutes before we were about to hop on, I'm like, wait a minute, this is PJs in Prosecco. And I was just getting in like a normal outfit and everything. And I was like, should I like wear a PJ? Should I wear like a cozy outfit? So I threw this sweatshirt, this like cozy wine time sweatshirt on because it felt way more PJs in Prosecco vibes. Like what, right last minute. It's funny, I don't even drink alcohol that much, but I was like, I have this. I literally bought it just because it's so cozy. And I feel like I need to be wearing this for the podcast. And then like the literally like, it's like 12:29 and I'm like, wait, I have Prosecco glass. I have Prosecco in my fridge. So I went and grabbed it and I was so ready, Emily, to show up with a glass of Prosecco because of your intro, like in our PJs, Prosecco in hand. And I was so ready and I have the glass and I have the Prosecco. I couldn't open it though. So I didn't pour it, but I have Prosecco in my hand.
Wait, I am obsessed. Glass for the vibes. I'm obsessed with this. You are ready.
I'm so ready. I'm committing.
Guys, she is red.
I don't know how to. It has like a child lock or something. I don't know.
It's no, you are
like,
not.
What is this? I've never seen, again, I don't drink, but like I've never seen a Prosecco bottle with this kind of lid. I was like, okay, I'm going to be late. Like, but she'll appreciate the effort and the intention.
Wait, I so appreciate the effort. It makes me wish that I had a glass of Prosecco right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said Prosecco in hand. Like I listened.
You understood the assignment.
Like on brand.
Wait, I love that. You know what? I love that you don't half-ass anything, which I feel like is the perfect segue to you. Intro. I would love if you intro yourself to the audience just because I know you so well, but you're going to have so many new listeners mm-hmm. and eyes on this. Tell them a little bit about yourself, all the things.
Yay. Okay. Well, I'm so excited to meet you all, even though I'm not seeing your face, but welcome. I'm so excited to connect with you all after this. I love just meeting new people. And I know, Emily, that's like what you're so amazing at is connecting to people. So thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm Jean Marie. My name is Jean Marie Kawadi. I am an intuitive business and embodiment coach. And I work primarily with early stage entrepreneurs. So you know, spiritual, soul-led, a lot of coaches, like a lot of creatives. I do have some clients who have spas or things like that, but, you know, some are like authors, but a lot of coaches, people who want to build some kind of online personal brand and really just do their own thing, be their own boss, make money doing what they love, essentially. And the work that I do with them is focus a lot around just the confidence to really go after what you want and to be yourself. So a lot of the magnetism, the personal branding, like really showing who you are online. It's funny because a lot of us are like, I want to just get paid to be me. But then when it actually comes to it, it's like we are doing everything we can to try to be someone we're not because we think that's what we need to do to make money. And so a lot of the work we do is how can you actually unsubscribe from the rules you didn't even realize you were trying to force yourself to follow? and rewrite them so that success gets to look like what you want it to look like. So it's a lot of confidence around that, around, again, being seen, showing up, like speaking your truth more fully, you know, showing up online. A lot of people think that showing up online is like easier, like you can kind of hide showing up online versus in person. And it's actually showing up online is an extension of how you show up in person. So we really get to the root of all of that, of believing that you have something valuable to offer, the sell, confidently selling and believing that like you're worth being paid for your work is a big thing. I feel like every new client that comes to me, the first thing we do is I'm like, girl, let's get these prices up. Like, do you realize the magic you have? So really helping people just see their own magic. And a lot of the work that we do too is in the body. So somatics and embodiment work, because especially in the entrepreneurship world, it is so much about strategy. When you think business, you still kind of your default brain goes to books and boring and rules and sales and numbers and revenue and tracking and like Excel spreadsheets and all of that stuff. And especially like when you start to look into how do I build a business, that's what you're looking for. Like, teach me how to market, teach me how to sell. And it's like, there is strategy that is important, but a lot of clients, when they come to me, they have consumed all of that information and the knowledge. They're actually people who like love to learn and they've gotten a zillion certifications and they're like, I always want to know more. And I'm like the one to tell them, girl, you know enough. Now let's actually embody it. Let's put it into action. Let's integrate it. Let's bring everything that's up here down actually into your system. Let's get your nervous system on board so that you can actually execute and embody everything that you know. So it's a lot of like, get out of the head, get into the body. A lot of leading with your intuition, which I know will probably be really, you know, relevant to what we talk about here, because I know like intuition is a big part of the work that you do too. Really helping tease apart like, okay, am I doing this because I really want to and this is really what my desires asking me to do, or am I doing this because I feel like I should, or because I'm afraid, right? And sometimes that can be really nuanced to tease apart. So I feel like that is kind of a specialty I have, that kind of connecting to your own truth and also trusting, right? Like trusting in your ability, trusting in that you will be successful. And I feel like those two things kind of go hand in hand, because you feel trust when you are embodied in truth. I could talk about that forever, but that's kind of like the core of the work I do, of my values and like what I bring into my business, into my clients. And I got into that work because that was really just my path. It's like all of the things I do with my clients are things that I've struggled with in the past. So being in your body and getting out of your head, listening to your intuition, actually feeling your feelings and like being with uncomfortable emotions instead of trying to think your way out of it or logic your way. Oh, I'm feeling this way. Oh, it's because of this. Or, you know, oh, I'm afraid this isn't going to happen. But like, I know the reframe, like, yeah, it'll be great. You know, it'll be fine. And keep powering through and never actually letting yourself be vulnerable and really connecting to those parts of you. And I spent so much of my life really just like totally closed off in that way. I mean, I just didn't acknowledge my emotions at all. I didn't, let alone express them to people, let alone, you know, honor them, witness them, feel them, move through them in that way at all. So the somatic work has been so life-changing for me in so many ways. And then, yeah, within, you know, my own journey of being at my corporate job as a software engineer and feeling totally lost and unfulfilled, misaligned, all the things, walking up the stairs every day in dread, like sleeping and staying up late, being like, oh my God, I just want to be anywhere but here, but I don't know where I want to be. And so that like lack of clarity, I feel like, is a big piece of my journey and what I help clients with now, because I always say a lack of clarity is just a presence of fear that's not acknowledged yet. Mm. And once I had that breakthrough and I realized, okay, if I'm feeling unclear, it's just because there's a fear blocking me from the clarity. And what's underneath that is there's a feeling I'm not feeling. And so I always say to my clients now too, your next quantum leap is simply on the other side of you feeling a feeling. Like, it's a literally like the clarity, you just got to feel the feeling. Like, the lack of clarity is a feeling in your body. It's not in your head. So I feel like the clarity that helped me figure out, you know, my purpose in this path and that led me to this path that helped me leave my job to, you know, follow all the little nudges, to start pole dancing, you know, to follow music, to like explore all of my creative passions, more into the mind body work and the somatic work and the spiritual coaching and healing and everything that I do now has really set me up to be able to bring this to everyone else. So yeah, that's what I'm passionate about. I live it, I breathe it, I sleep it, I eat it, all the things.
You're like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Now I'm selling the merch. I love that.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I love that so many of us have the story, right, of doing what we thought we should and climbing the corporate ladder, even though it was not necessarily what we wanted to be doing. But I'm just so curious, what was the turning point for you when you were like, I can't stay in corporate anymore, and like actually did something about it? Not just the I don't want to be here, right? Because we had years and years of I don't want to be here, but like that turning point for you.
Yeah, I love answering this question because I feel like mine was very unconventional, and a lot of people's stories and like what you often expect is that it's kind of this empowering moment where you're like, and I finally said, you know, F this, no, I'm going, whatever. And I, like, yes, it was a very courageous decision that I made, but I did not feel courageous in that moment at all, because the turning point for me was essentially, it was almost like a rock bottom to where I was like, I literally cannot do, like, I'm not getting work done. If I go another day, like, he's like, my boss is gonna say something to me, because I've just been like, not like, I would show up to work and just like not work. It's like my body was in a total freeze. Like, I could not get myself to do it anymore. Like, my body was just like in full rebellion. And so I had been waiting and delaying it for so long because I was like, I just got to figure out what I'm going to do next before I can make this move. And my body was like, no, girl, we're basically going to shut down, like, so that you will make this move, because you have to learn that you can't wait to take the action until you're clear. Like, sometimes you just have to trust. And that was my first time ever. I mean, I guess when I, you know, when I left my relationship before that was similar, but like one of the first times in a really big way where I left something with no plan, no idea what I was going to do, but what carried me through was I just know that there must be something, because I know it's not it. Like, so the first time that I kind of took that leap of faith, you know, and I wasn't even really familiar with that, you know, that term of like leap of faith or trusting and things like that. And my mom said to me, I remember at the time, you know, jump in a net will appear. And that, I remember that felt like so nourishing to me to hear, because I was just like, yes, that's naming this feeling that I knew that I had, but I didn't know how to put it to words. Like, I wasn't super into, you know, I had been familiar with manifestation and things like that, but I really was not far along in my journey with connecting to my own intuition and everything like that. So yeah, the moment I left was when I was like, I cannot take another paycheck from this job because I feel too guilty, and there is a deadline on a project I was working on, and I was like, I either have to go to him and like try to make up some excuse why this project isn't done, or be honest and be like, you know, I can't be here anymore. I don't know what's going on. And I had a conversation. Thankfully, my boss was like the most supportive. We were very close, and that's also why I felt so guilty leaving, but he was, could not have been more supportive. And he was basically like, okay, you know, like, well, just say that you're done in 2 weeks. He was like, I just want you to be happy. And he's like, you're going to figure it out. Like, I fully, like, he was one of the first people that like held the faith for me before I could really like hold it for myself. And it was funny too at the time. And it's so funny looking back, how you always see how the winks and the signs were there from the beginning. Like, they're always there, and you are just like so blind to them until you're ready to receive them. Because he said to me in that conversation, so what are you going to like do something with health or like something wellness related? And I was like, what? What do you mean? Why would I? What? Where are you getting that from? And he's like, well, you're like the healthiest person I know, and you're like always talking about this stuff. And I was just like, that felt so foreign. And looking back, I'm like, well, duh. Like, obviously I was going to do something like personal growth, health, wellness related. And like, it's so funny how easily sometimes people can see what you can't see for yourself. So yeah, the turning point was essentially, I can't do this any, like, it was just kind of a last, like, what else? I don't know. I'm up against a wall. What else do I do? I guess I have to leave. And I did after that kind of have like almost a year of just hoping I would figure it out and like still not. And I kind of like kept thinking the clarity's gonna come. What I didn't realize was just that there were so many other areas of my life where I was still living so out of alignment. I was still in like a relationship that was not healthy and very not aligned, you know, really not like honoring my worth. And I was kind of still looking, like trying to find things outside of myself. I did a lot of travel, which was amazing, but it was a lot of like chasing guys and like hoping that I was going to find myself in this state or this city kind of thing. And it wasn't until I kind of like reclaimed my worth, really is how I would say it, and like left the relationship and told, like kind of stated to the universe, like, okay, I deserve better than this, and closed off what was a no so that I could make space for what was a yes, that things really started to fall in. But when I did that, they started to fall in a line so quickly. Like, got with my husband the next month, got the clarity about my wanting to start my business right after that. And then everything really kind of like waterfalled from there, or snowballed, or whatever the metaphor is. But yeah, it's a crazy journey. And I think it's such a beautiful illustration of how intuition works, and also how a lot of the time, especially when it's one of those first things, like one of those first big, you know, wake up calls, you really can't see it until you are kind of out of the woods and you can look back and be like, oh, that all made perfect sense, even though I felt so lost throughout it.
Wait, I love that. I feel like I have full body chills too on your mom telling you,
just jump,
and the net will appear. Like, duh. And I often say to my clients, especially when they first come to me, I'm like, what are we truly worried about? Have you ever had like rock bottom of nothing? I'm talking living in your car. And if anyone's listening and this has happened to you, I also get that piece of it. But I would say 98% of the people, that doesn't happen. There always is a net that appears, whether it be monetarily or support, or all of a sudden the right mentor or book being right in your path that you're like, whoa, I didn't even think of that or notice it. And so I love that she said that to you. Mm-hmm. And I also love, John Marie, that you also bring up such a good point. We don't have to be in that position where we have that awful boss and this is terrible for that reason. We can just want better for ourselves because we know we're on the wrong path.
Yes, that's such a good point to bring up. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I think that is something that really affected me, and I think affects a lot of people, is you almost feel like, and it is natural, the fact that, and I think a lot of the time we do feel like it could be worse, and so we justify our settling. Because we're like, other people have it worse, or I could have it worse, or I should be grateful. It's like a big thing that came up for me. And I know a lot of people feel that way. I should be grateful. I have this great paying job. I have this great boss. And I did have, that was the thing that held me back a lot, because it kept being like, I should just be able to find a way to be happy here because I have a good paying job. I have a great boss. I have a great culture. I have like flexibility in my schedule. And it was learning that, like you said, simply this is just not fulfilling to me. It's just not a full body fuck yes anymore. I don't even need a reason. And that's reason enough to leave was so powerful. And it's crazy too, because like you said, like thinking about the worst case, like what are we really afraid of is going to happen? At the time, I feel like I didn't even know to think that way. You know what I mean? Because I was still so conditioned of the, this is like the, what I work towards. This is the life that I built. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is right. And anything else is wrong. And like, I just hadn't yet opened my mind to realizing like, this is just one path that so many people have made it feel like that's the only path. And also the sunk cost of, if I've put so much into this, I can't change. And I actually just had a client yesterday who was talking about this with, because she was trying to get clarity on an offer. And she was like, I don't want to pick the wrong thing and put the wrong offer out. Like, what if this isn't really what I want to do? Because then like, it's going to set me back from where I want to go. And we were talking about, there is no such thing as a wrong decision. There is no way that this could be wrong, because every single decision that you make is taking you closer, even if it feels like you're going backwards, even if it feels like you're throwing everything aside, leaving a 7-year relationship or leaving this job in this field that I had been in for 6 years and all these relationships that I had built. I learned and gained so much from all those experiences that were so necessary, full body chills again, for me to be able to make these decisions and get where I am today. Like, I could not be here where I am today without going through all of that, as we could see by like me telling this story of, this is how I learned this work that I teach clients. And so it's like, there is no such thing as time wasted.
No, there truly is not. And I always think too, that there's so much beauty in the breakdown right before the breakthrough. And even though it's almost like you had a year of finding yourself, right, that you had said you, you traveled and you were doing the things. But if you hadn't done that either, like, you would not be exactly here realizing that you have to go within and start to recognize your worth to become truly magnetic and have all that you desire be your reality.
That is such a good point. And honestly, you saying it that way, I don't think I ever actually fully looked at it that way. Yes, I know conceptually, like I just said, like everything is leading you there. But I do feel like for a long time, I looked at that period of my life of I was like shooting the shit, didn't really know what I was doing for 8 months until I left that relationship. And then I got all this clarity. But you're right. Like, it was like, it's important to point out, like, every single month, every single week, every single day of that, I was getting closer to the point where I was even able to recognize, oh, I deserve better. Oh, I'm going to leave this relationship. And everything was happening in the background. And something else you said that I really wanted to touch on.
Something good.
It was all. Oh, it was before that. It was like a little earlier before you talked about the magnetism about.
Oh,
oh God.
Everything. Like going through the finding yourself. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. I remembered. It was during that time I accumulated a lot of debt because when I left my job, I had a big savings fund, but I had no relationship with money. Like, it was, I just was like, I've always had enough. The number always goes up in my account, spend on whatever. I spent so much on things that I just never used, never whatever. And so then I basically left my job and just kept living the lifestyle that I was living on that salary. Although I had no income anymore and was like, I have savings, it'll be fine. Went through all the savings and was like, oh, now what? And then I was like, oh, wait. And it was so crazy the way that my relationship with money and my mom raised me, like, you don't have money you don't have, like, very good with credit cards and all of that. I never even realized, Emily, like, that you could spend money on a credit card and not pay it off right away. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And so I remember having this moment where I was like, wait a minute, I have access to this credit. And once I realized that, I just like slid and I was like, oh, like this will hold me over longer. And then before I knew it, I had maxed out the credit cards. And so for a long time, I held a lot of guilt and shame around the version of me that accumulated that debt. And that was a big piece of healing my relationship with money, because a lot of me trying to make more money was coming from a place not of, I always say the difference between running away from something and running towards something. I wasn't running towards money. I was running away from the debt. And I was like, I need more money so that I can get rid of the debt, because I feel shame around the debt because that's the version of me that was lost and making these decisions carelessly and all these things. And it was a huge turning point for my relationship with money and my finances in general when I was able to really connect with that version of me and forgive myself and realize, like, that version of me was doing the best she could at the time. Like, she needed to accumulate that debt. Like, that was serving her at that time. If she could have made different decisions, she would have. And when I was able to really forgive myself for that, the debt stopped feeling like a weight, and it just shifted everything, where I was able to open up, feel spaciousness, not feel so much pressure around needing the money or needing to pay it off right away. And I could approach it from so much more of an empowered and intentional place. So yeah, that I just felt called to share that story because of what you mentioned about that time period, because I did have to do a lot of forgiveness after the fact for that version of myself that went through that phase.
Yeah, I think that, listen, like, money mindset and money energetics is such a hot topic for a reason, right? And it's because our money stories and our money beliefs. And I loved what you talked about. You were like almost running towards that debt because it was like, I got to pay off the debt instead of running towards money in an empowering way. And that's, I was like, also full body chills. I was like, yeah, like, holy cow, about it in that way. And I feel like because it's such hot topics right now, like, what do you think the biggest myth is, like, for people when it comes to their money mindset? I feel like there's so many, but what do you think the biggest myth is that people have?
Yeah, there are so many. I feel like, yeah, we could talk forever on just this one topic. But one that I've recently really started thinking about is, especially in the spiritual space, the world of manifestation, people who talk about this a lot, I think the myth is that manifesting abundance, quote unquote, is the goal. Like, the word abundance, everyone is, I want abundance, manifest abundance. And I think one of the reasons people say that is because it's still, there's a part of people that it feels bad or not spiritual to, it feels greedy to say, I want money. Like, people are scared to actually claim and say, I want more money. They feel, and so they're like, no, I don't want money. I want abundance. I want the spiritual version. But that actually, like, a lot of people don't want abundance because they say that. But they're already like insanely overwhelmed. They have so much on their plate. So I'll have so many clients who are like, yeah, I want more abundance. And I'm like, girl, like you literally don't have 1 second to yourself. Like you are so overwhelmed. You don't want abundance. You need boundaries, right? Like mm-hmm. you need to actually create space because if you want abundance, right, money is an amplifier. So if you want more, then you need to make what you have right now amplifiable. If yeah. you want to be able to hold more money, you need to create more space in your field. So I think the biggest block that people don't always look as being related to money is if you are so overwhelmed and you can't even hold your current reality, right? And everything that's currently going on, your responsibilities, like taking care of yourself and feeling balanced and having spaciousness in your life, then you need to first learn how to heal your capacity, right? To heal, to be able to hold what you currently have. So you actually even have room to receive, right? Because what's going to happen is if you can't even hold what you currently have and there's no space to receive more, you're not going to receive more. And then even if you do, it's just going to find its way back out because you haven't expanded your nervous system to capacity to hold it. So the first thing that I always say to people when they want more is I'm like, can you even hold what you have? And where do we need to actually start setting some boundaries and saying no to things so that there is room to actually say yes to what you want? Because people are like, more will make it better. And a lot of the time, the myth in their head is more money will help to solve this problem, which often is the overwhelm or the lack of boundaries. And they're like, once I have money, it'll be easier to make this problem go away. And it's no, really what you need to do is set the boundary and say no now. And then not only will you create space for the money, but you won't feel as attached to it because you solved the problem on your own by doing the uncomfortable thing.
I love that because I also feel like you're really like hitting home on what I've been talking with my clients around money mindset is like, they'll be like, oh, I want to do the spiritual things and create my spiritual business. And like, I want to tap into how I channel and like all these beautiful things. And then when it comes to the money piece, it's like, they think that they're doing it because they're like, I want financial freedom and the ability to do whatever I want with my time. And I say, okay, is it really just a financial freedom? And they're like, yeah, no, it's definitely financial freedom. And I say, if it was, then why wouldn't you stay in the safety of a safe, constant paycheck? I was like, are you okay right now in your corporate job with your paycheck? You're living your life, you're traveling. Like, yeah, to an extent, you don't have the time freedom piece, right? Because you have like meetings or like you only get a certain number of vacation. I was like, but you're financially great. So is it truly money that's driving you? And then when you go layers under where you're like, it's not actually the money, like it's, you know, what comes with it. It's the safety. It's the purpose, like me feeling like I'm actually making a difference in the world. And all that unlocks, which yes, equates into money, right? But it's not money that you're going after. That's
like, yeah,
like what you get when you go after your purpose and you're in service and you're doing all these awesome things, then it comes to you. And you're exactly right, John Marie. Then you got to make sure you have the capacity to hold it. Because if your money story is, I got to spend, you're not going to hold it. Or I've got scarcity. So are you going to attract that high ticket? Maybe not. I don't know. There's so much. We could do 20 episodes on all of this.
Right? No, for real. Like, honestly, we could do a series on that entire thing because you're right. It is. And I do always say to clients too, especially when it comes to sales, like it is never about the money. It's never about the money when you're wanting money. It's never about the money when someone is telling you it's the money. That's the reason that they can't afford it. It's never about the money. Like it never is because there's always a feeling underneath the money that's representing to you. And I always say, what will the money give you permission to do? Who will the money give you permission to be?
I like that.
Because we're really just waiting for the money to give us permission. Oh, it will give me permission to relax more. It will give me permission to not feel the pressure. Permission to show up more confidently is a big one that I hear so much because we use money as validation. The money almost feels like a security blanket. So we're like, I want the money. And we say it's because, oh, I just want to feel safe. I just want the financial freedom, whatever it is. But really, when we dig deeper, it's when I have the money, then I'll feel like I'm successful and I'll feel validated. And then I'll feel like I can confidently put myself out there. Then I can express myself more fully. Then people will respect me more. I'll feel more legit. When really, like the only way that you're going to get there is by showing up that way now, right? Like it's the classic identity work. You have to show up as a version of yourself who has the thing. And really all you're wanting, to your point, is to show up as that version of yourself. Like what you're craving when you feel like, I want this money. What that craving really is, I just want to express myself in a different way that feels more true and aligned. And that's the craving, is like, what are you wanting to express that you're not letting yourself express? And you feel like the money, or it could be something else, whatever the manifestation thing is that you're pedestaling, is going to give you permission or make it easier or feel less stretchy and scary to express that way. But the hack is express yourself that way now, let yourself be that way, do that thing, whatever that looks like. And then of course, again, it's going to melt the resistance. Money's going to come in and you're not going to even feel as needy for it because you've satisfied that craving. You've fulfilled it.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like there's something there too, which I feel like I just had this aha moment breakthrough myself. Because even though we have successful businesses, like we still go through moments where we're like, ha.
Oh, yeah.
And
how did I have that breakthrough? Because I've happened 7 times for myself.
You know, like it's gonna keep happening that. Like every time we up level. But no, I've uniquely had a situation where I've had a total breakdown shift in my identity and brand and business, and I've rebranded and come back out. And it's not actually that different than my last business. It's just less smuggly, and we love that. It's all woo, we're all channels, and it's like getting you there. But I feel like the biggest aha, and I feel like you'll appreciate this, that I had was around the identity of how I was showing up. And I feel like that's exactly what you were just saying, is if you're craving how you're being seen, if I'm expecting, instead of just being 6 figures, multiple 6 figures, or eventually 7 figures and multiple of that, then how does that version of me wake up every day? And it's not how you are right now, because you'd already have it. If you were doing everything like you were going to when you had and held the money or held the boundaries or the safety, you would be showing up that way. And I feel like that's where I was like, whoa, yeah, I can't just wake up with the same morning routine and the same way I'm running my day and the same this and even dressing the same way. Like you guys can't see me on the podcast, but I am in a sundress right now. I live in athleisure and I still do. But there are moments in my week where I'm very thoughtful on I'm going to actually dress up. Like I loved dressing up when I was in corporate, like if I was meeting with a VP or my buyers, like I really loved it. And I was like, why don't I bring that in to my business when I want to? Obviously, I'm not in a sundress every day, you guys. Still love my athleisure. But it's like these small shifts of, no, I am going to get up. And instead of feeding and walking the dogs and then going right into client check-ins and consuming, no, I'm actually going to spend time with me. And it's, I don't know, it's like shifts though that are so powerful.
No, 100%. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And it really is the small shifts. And I always say, this is not my phrase, but the little things are the big things. But I love that phrase because it is so true. And again, even to go back to the money, like I want the money, I want abundance, I want more, is I think it's so easy for people to, like, I don't know if scapegoat is the right word, but pedestal this big change of, oh, this big change will just blanket fix everything, because it's so much easier to just say that and bank on that than to actually have to confront the little changes that are actually the most uncomfortable to make. Like, we think the big changes are the uncomfortable ones, but it's the little ones. It's the little things of the willpower or breaking out of the pattern to wake up and check your phone immediately, right? That is uncomfortable in the moment to actually not do that. It's so much easier to do that and be like, yeah, when I'm making $1 million, I'm not going to do that. But no, again, the change starts with you. So if you don't stop doing that, you're not going to stop doing that. Like nothing outside of you is going to change that. And it is those little things. It is always, I feel like when you, again, when you talk about and think about the identity work and who is that version of me that's making the 7 figures, how does she show up differently than I am now? And when I talk to clients about it too, it's never a big thing. It's literally the smallest things of exactly that. Oh, she just puts a little more intention into like how she gets ready, into her outfit. That was that. And I love that you mentioned that, because that was a big thing for me too, was like dressing up more and even just, again, putting more intention, like I curled my hair, I put earrings and a necklace on, you know what I mean? Even the intention I put into wearing the Wine Time sweater, right? Like those little things versus just getting up and putting on the same thing or just putting on athleisure or being like, oh, I'm not going to see anyone today. I don't really need to do my hair or my makeup or whatever it is. It's like, how does that version of me show up? And again, it all comes back to the way that you are showing up and expressing, which is what you're craving, right? If you could show up as a millionaire version of yourself every day and lock that in and actually make those energetic shifts. So you're embodying that version of yourself. You wouldn't feel the need for the other things, but it just feels uncomfortable to make those changes because that is the process of growth and expansion. Like it is stretchy. But all that version of me wouldn't filter herself. She would say whatever she wants. She would post whatever she wants online. And it's like, can you stretch yourself to do that now, to make those little changes, to set more boundaries with your phone, to say no to people who ask you to do favors, say no to your family and actually set the boundary, right? Of actually, I need a night off tonight, whatever it is. Like those little choices you make, those little moments are really who define like the version that you are showing up as and how you feel, like how aligned to your truth are you living? Yeah, I always say if you want to be in a timeline, like you just choose the timeline.
Yeah, and I do think too, gosh, it's collectively we all shifted timelines through that 8-8 portal, Mercury retrograde. So that's so true. And it's now it's about like, how do I embody that? And guys, if you're like, I love what this is, but I don't know how to get there, just know that we all don't have all the answers, nor should we. And that's like why you're listening to this podcast episode. It's because you have people like John Marie and me who can help you figure out like, how do I embody that? What does that mean? What? Like that, we're not meant to do these things alone. And I think that someone needs to hear that because I was not planning on saying it, but it literally came loud and clear into my head. I was like, oh, okay. So just know that probably sounds really easy what John Marie and I are saying right now. Like easy, and I put that in quotes, but it's when you're doing identity work and shifting, having a cheerleader in your corner and accountability, I feel like is huge. Don't you think?
Totally. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That was a big lesson that I had to learn too, was that we're not meant to do it alone. And I do think too, to speak to that same point of it's these small uncomfortable changes that sound easy, right? But really are like the hardest things to do. And I think it's another reason why people in this space often almost, I don't want to say abuse, but like they almost kind of abuse like manifestation practices and like healing practices as like a way to keep isolating. And it's almost, oh, I can solve this on my own by doing EFT and journaling and doing this and doing my meditation. And let me spend 3 hours, 5 hours a day on these practices, right? So that I can shift it on my own and not actually have to reach out for support. And I did that for a long time where it was like I actually was using the name of manifestation and healing as a way to just encourage my own isolation because I was actually afraid of being vulnerable and letting myself be supported and engaging with life more. And what I've really realized is that these changes we're talking about, they are just shifts you can make in the way you engage with life and the letting yourself be supported by mentors, by friends, by family, like being open about what you're experiencing. And I heard someone say this once and it really resonated with me is like, everything in the world is in relationship. Like your existence is in relationship with other things, with people, right? You're in relationship with your business, with the world, with money, with whatever it is, with this Prosecco glass I'm in relationship with, you know what I mean? And all of your trauma too. Yeah. All of your trauma happened in relationship too, right? Like everything that triggers you, every experience was in relationship with someone else. And so why would you expect to be able to heal alone? To heal in isolation, to heal just through journaling and doing all these practices on your own. And yes, those things are so helpful tools for self-reflection, but ultimately it can be so much more powerful to just have one conversation with another person about something, or not even having to talk about something, but just showing up differently in a conversation with somebody or showing up differently when you go out on a walk, right? Versus sitting at home being like, okay, why do I show up this way when I'm walking? Or like, why do I respond this way when I'm talking to someone? It's just go live it. And so I think that there's like a big shift happening of coming back to living and engaging with life more and not needing to so much dig into how can I fix this on my own and using practices to avoid that because, again, that is what's more scarier and more confrontational. And also like letting that be enough because another thing for me is I've started just if I have something sticky come up and I cry about it, I used to then be like, okay, now I have to dig into, okay, what was that? And like, why did I cry? Yeah. What am I reframing this to? And let me lock this in with a meditation. And now more than half the time, I'll just be like, okay, glad that happened. Move what I needed to move. Let me move on with my life. And if it comes up again, then I'll address it. But just because I cried about something doesn't mean I now need to dig into all the years of trauma behind it and heal everything in this moment. So I feel like I went off in different directions there, but you sparked a lot.
No, but honestly, though, I think that's such a good point, is that I also think, and I'm sure you get clients too, who are like, I'm like not healed enough. And I'm like, no, you're like perfect right now. You're literally perfect right now. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're going to cry sometimes, or like you're going to have extremes of things. And it's the point of being human is to experience them. And we don't always need to make them this big ass thing that we have to dive into. When it's a pattern, absolutely. We have to get to the bottom of like, why am I continuing on that roller coaster or that merry-go-round? Mm-hmm. But really, a lot of our lives are just to experience it and then move on. Move on to the next. It's not meant to be this, oh, I cried. Let me now go spend an entire day or weekend figuring out why did I cry? What happened there?
Exactly.
Sometimes, not all the time.
And it's, yes, I think that's why it almost is like that pendulum swing, right? Where it's like, because there was this like long period of time where there was none of that self-reflection happening, then we like swung all the way through, but then we go through that point of balance to now it's so much self-reflection to where there are a lot of times where it's, no, sometimes it's okay to just be like, I cried and let me move on. And maybe it's not that big of a deal and I don't need to get to the root of it right away. And I think it is like hard to wrap your head around sometimes because yes, it's so powerful to get to the root of things. And sometimes like everything that can end up becoming just another method of self-sabotage of let me get to the root. Oh, I just am healing. And it's actually just a way to avoid taking action and just like changing the way you're showing up. And I remember one time, even in the context of relationships, I was like talking to a friend and this moment has always stuck with me because it was one of the first times I realized this pattern in myself where I was like, I just don't know why I can't stop talking to this guy. Like I shouldn't be talking to him, but I just keep responding. And she finally was like, I think you just need to stop like trying to figure out why you're still responding and just stop responding. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like she just called. She just called me out because I was just using the analysis phase of, until I know why I'm still responding, then I can keep responding because I don't know why yet. And it's like a way that we can prolong actually having to make that uncomfortable little change. So back to your point, even of it's not easy, like it sounds easy and it's not. It's, I think what the part that's not easy is just the awareness and the commitment. Totally. But then it is like when you actually have the awareness and commitment, I think the hack is almost to remind yourself, oh, actually, it is easy. It's not that big of a deal. Why am I making it one? And just change it. It's like the resistance 100%. To actually making the change, that little gap.
Yeah, no, 100%. Once you've made the decision, and then I feel like there's also this moment when you've made the decision that is so important for our subconscious mind is to actually follow through with it. Because if we make the decision, don't, we're actually telling our subconscious mind, which rules 95% of what we do, that it's actually not a priority. So we don't care about it. So it's, if I'm deciding that I'm going to now wake up and have mornings be for me and not like scroll. And also I'm going to choose days where I'm on camera that I'm going to get a little dressed up and have fun with it. And then I don't do it. Then I'm actually saying that identity that I desire is not important when it actually truly is. So I think that's, once I was like, oh, it's important. Guess what? Now it's so easy. I'm like, ooh, I'm like, what am I going to wear on my interview with John? Is also you. And you're like, so fun and like free and flowy. And I'm like,
oh, I love that. Oh, I'm honored that like your sundress selection was in part related, inspired by me.
That was inspired by you.
But yeah. 100%. I think you hit on two really good points there, or two things that I want to extend on is the follow through and the kind of casting the votes to your brain. And then also like the reason for not following through, because to the first point is like when you don't follow through, like you said, when you show your brain, oh, it's actually not a priority. That is also actually breaking trust with yourself. Every time you do that, you say, I'm going to do this, and then you don't do it. You're breaking trust. You're showing, I don't follow through. I don't do what I'm saying I'm going to do. And I think a big struggle that people have with trying to manifest what they want, trying to consciously manifest, is trusting, right? Trusting the process. And yeah. I could talk so much about trust, but I think the trust ultimately at the end of the day is like the self-trust, because again, it's all about how you're showing up. So are you trusting you're going to show up the way that you want to, or the way you say you're going to? And so every time you say, I'm going to do this and you don't, that's actually enforcing, oh, I don't trust myself because I literally said I was going to do it and I didn't. But then also I think that can have go too far to where then we start to go into the shame spiral. And I think that's like a big thing that people run into. And I know that I've run into in a lot of my clients is like the shame. And it almost comes again when like we do know all this and we feel like I know better. I know I should be showing up this way. This is not how the six-figure version of myself, million-dollar version of myself shows up. Like, why am I doing this? And then we feel so guilty and fall into the shame that we actually go into a freeze and we sabotage more. And we're like in this place where we're like, I do know better. I do know to make the change and I'm just not. Like, why? And I think there is an element and a time and place for, like we said, of just, okay, just do the damn thing. Like, you just got to rip the band-aid and do it. And I think there's also a space for what I always say is like, a lot of the time we try to top down the behavior change and be like, okay, I just know better, just change it, just do it. But to your point, if your subconscious is not on board, it's not going to happen. And so I think a lot of people are overlooking like how much more easily you can change your behavior if you just get your body and your subconscious on board. So it's if you want to change the way you're showing up and it's not happening, just ask your body, like, why don't we want this to happen? Ask your subconscious, okay, like, why don't I want this? Because there is a part of you that doesn't want this if you are not acting in alignment with it. And the crazy thing is when you can actually just shift that in your body, shift your nervous system to feel like that is safe, shift your subconscious beliefs to actually believe that the thing that you consciously want is what's safe and is what you want, and then every part of you wants it, your behavior will naturally shift. So I feel like there's this mindset of I need to force the behavior change and then this will change. But it's if you can actually, and I'll give an example, so I'm not speaking so conceptually, I'll go back to money since we were talking about it already, is a lot of people are like, okay, I want to shift my finances and so I'm going to budget and I'm going to limit my spending and I'm going to save more. And they're trying to top down enforce this behavior change and then it never is sustainable. Same thing with if you're trying to lose weight and you're like, I'm going to diet, I'm going to work out, eventually you fall off. Whereas instead of trying to keep track of I need to change all these things and stay consistent, it's okay, what if we actually go to the root and ask that part of ourselves, why don't you want to save money? What do you enjoy about being in the red? What do you enjoy about living to paycheck to paycheck? This is something else that I also had to go through, is do you enjoy the excitement of being paycheck to paycheck? Or is there an element of you that's rebelling against? There's so many different factors that can play into it, but when you can connect to that part of you that doesn't want it, and I think a lot of people are afraid to do this because they're afraid that if they give voice to that part, it's gonna take over and then like it's gonna win out and then they're never gonna get what they want. But what really happens is, again, once you can give voice and space and stop shaming and suppressing and just feel into that, then it melts the resistance. You can actually alchemize it and integrate it, and then you can all get on the same page. So it's if you can, instead of being like, I need the part of me that wants more money to win out and beat down the part that doesn't, can I like create space and give voice to the part of me that doesn't and be like, oh, why don't you? Actually talk through, in whatever method that is. I sometimes have conversations. I sometimes it's through a somatic practice, inner child healing, EFT. There are so many different methods you can use for this.
Yeah.
But it's having that relationship with your body and your subconscious and your system to be like, oh, why doesn't this part of me want it? Get on the same page, and then you don't actually have to consciously think about the behavior change anymore, because like you said, subconscious drives 95% of behavior. So if we could just reprogram the GPS, your behavior will naturally shift. And it's, wait a minute, why was that hard before? It's so easy now. And it's just because you're not fighting yourself anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that is so true. And I do think that there is also a level of humility and grace that we have to have with ourselves when we're making these small shifts, because there may be a day where you don't do it, quote unquote, perfectly, like you had set out to do. And that's okay. That doesn't mean it derails. If you have a day or two where you slip back into your old patterns, that doesn't mean, oh no, like I've screwed the whole thing up. It's more like acknowledgement. And to your point, it's not shame. It's just, okay, you know what? I just need to really like work through why I'm being pulled back into this old version of me and address that, not in a long way, just in a, even just a somatic exercise or a subconscious exercise of just what is pulling me back? Like, what is happening here? And you know what? Glad I noticed it. Kudos, gold star for me. We're moving on. And now we're doing the shift that we said we were going to do, because just because I've had this shift for myself doesn't mean that there's not days where I come back from Mount Shasta and I'm like, I need to integrate, which for me, integration is sleep. And if I got down on myself because all I did was sleep for 3 days, you guys, I would not be like having this amazing transformation and rebrand. I would be so guilty. But instead I was like, no, just because I need 3 days of sleep, who cares? And then after we're good, like balls to the walls, let's go. We're like, yes, old me.
So true.
I'm not lazy.
Yes. No, literally it is that. It is. It's like the shame and like the perfectionist mindset of like, consistency is perfection. And oh, I didn't show up as the six-figure millionaire version of me today, and now I've ruined everything. And it's okay, wait a minute, but does the millionaire version of you spiral in shame because you like slept an extra day, or because you did? No, that version of you has compassion and grace for herself, right? And knows that consistency isn't perfection, right? It's more about sustainability. So that is such a huge part of it, is being able to recognize that. And like I always say to my clients, what if you didn't know better than your body? Because we are so used to leading from our minds. And it's like, what if you didn't know better than your body? What if you're tired because you need to rest? And so often we're just so conditioned to think that rest is bad and that we are lazy. Or even I remember when I first started like having these realizations, and then I would let myself rest like one day if I was tired, and then I would maybe still be tired the second day, and I'm like, I rested a full day, but I rested. And it's sometimes maybe you just need multiple days, right? Like sometimes you just need multiple days. So really realizing how skewed my perspective was, and now like the way that I really try to move through life, and what I guide my clients to do too, is really body led. And I always say too, your body is your business plan. Like your body has the answers, right? Your body is where things shift, and your body has your body will guide you, right? If your body wants to rest, like rest. If your body is contracting about a decision, don't make it. If your body is lighting up about something and you don't know why and you feel like it makes no sense, follow it. Like your body really knows. And I think so much of the shame just comes from, oh, my body is doing this thing. My body is not moving, my body is tired, my body is whatever, and my mind thinks I need to do this, I need to go, I need to do the logical thing. And when we can just learn to recognize, oh, mind is saying this, body says this, I trust my body, and I trust that I don't need to know better and try to force this onto myself, then it really just opens up such a more easeful life.
Yeah, truly. Oh my gosh, I feel like, whoo, I feel like that's like a good note to end on, because like, holy guacamole, it's give yourself some grace, ladies, like, and listen to your damn body.
That is a great note to end on.
And what I like to do, John Marie, that I don't tell any of my guests about, unless you've listened to a podcast episode with a guest and you already know this, I like to end with a fun random question, because why not? And so I asked my friend ChatGPT to give me 5 for you, and I picked the funniest one. So if you could if you could host a dinner party with any 3 entrepreneurs, artists, or spiritual leaders that are alive, who's at the table and what are you serving?
Oh my God. I've never hosted a dinner party before. So realistically, I would be going to my husband and I would be like, what should we serve for this dinner party? Because he is the cook in the house.
Perfect.
So yeah, we would have to consult his input for the meal. We would definitely have fun, cozy drinks though, because that is my thing. So yeah, like I wouldn't even be hosting a dinner party. I would be hosting just like a vibey, like cozy drinks and snacks kind of party, right? So like we'd have my cacao, the Prosecco, right? Like the vibey drinks, the cozy drinks are my thing. Who would be at the table? I feel literally so cliche saying this, but I have to say Taylor Swift. I just can't not. I'm an OG Swiftie. She's like one of the most successful women. I do admire her so much. She's like clearly just knows so much about personal branding, right? Like about marketing, like there's so much entrepreneurial expertise, but also just about authenticity and being herself and like being vulnerable in her songs and her music, like sharing herself. And again, that's what I talk so much about, is like sharing your truth and being yourself and being vulnerable and sharing that online and in your brand, like building that personal brand. I think she's such a beautiful example of how to truly build a personal brand and build those personal connections. And she's been such an inspiration for me too. I remember one time, because I do music also on the side of this, and I was, again, like I told you, I was always scared to share my feelings and things like that. And I felt like so vulnerable sharing like them through songs. And my mom said to me one time, if Taylor Swift had never written her vulnerable emotions in a song, like where would she would not be here, and you would not have her songs, and she would not be where she is. And it's such an obvious thing that now, like being in the work that I'm in, I say those things all the time. But at the time it really hit me, because I was like, wait a minute, her songs resonate so much with me and got me through so many times. And that is like something that really drives me to speak my truth and continue to show up fully as myself in my business, and to even share vulnerable things in my business and with clients and in my personal brand, because I'm like, if I went through this, I know that somebody else needs to hear it. Yeah. So definitely Taylor Swift. Honestly, is this like a lame answer? I want to say my business coach, our business coach, Nora, because I just haven't met her in person yet. And I would love to have dinner with her, because we haven't been able to meet. And so I would love to have dinner with her. And I want to say you too. Like, I feel like it'd just be so fun. Like, I feel, honestly, I think like my answer is, I don't know that there are these like big celebrity people other than Taylor Swift that I really like. I don't feel like I have as much of the like celebrity worship. Oh, this expert knows this thing. Yes, there are people whose brains I would love to pick. But in terms of who do I want to have a dinner party with, I feel like the first thing that comes to mind is I just want to sit down with people I know I'm going to have a good time with and vibe with and hang out with. And I feel like there are already so many incredible women and people in my space and who are entrepreneurs that I have are so expansive to me, and I have so much to learn from, that I would just love to get to spend time with. So I don't know if that's a lame answer, but yeah, I feel like I don't have any like big idols. It's more of just I love like the people around me, and I would love to I love to learn from everyone that I experience with.
I feel like I'll just say thank you from Nora and I, so that we can have this hypothetical cozy party with Taylor Swift.
Now
so
you have to plan it. You and Nora. Hey, cool. We're all on board, Taylor. You're the only one that has an RSVP'd. So
RSVP'd. It's so weird.
Get on that.
Oh my God, I love
I'm
it.
So
it
excited to look back on this podcast episode in a few years when we're all like besties with Taylor and we're all like big millionaire business owners, and then we actually have the dinner party. That'll be epic.
Yep, I'm into this. I'm probably like, I'm like her spiritual energy like healer and channeler at that point in time, I bet. And we're like best friends. Oh, I see it now. I always knew any friends.
That's it.
That are cool. Not just any celebrity friends. I want like the cool ones who are like down to earth and real. Because I lived in LA. I don't need just celebrity friends. Let's be clear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, John Marie, thank you so much for being on Peaches and Prosecco. Tell everyone where they can find you. And guys, it'll be in the show notes too, but tell them what you've got coming up, anything they should know.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so funny how we just got on this note of celebrity, because I actually, my next offer coming up is really around like that celebrity energy and about this concept of, again, not pedestaling that and you being in the celebrity energy. And like you said, it's, I love to think about, oh, I'm being the channel for Taylor. Like I'm coaching Taylor. Like I'm coaching someone that big, and stretching yourself to show up at that level of visibility and expression and in your power. So I have a free masterclass coming up. It's not named yet, but it is going to be all about getting into that celebrity energy and really the visibility in your personal brand and showing up online in your stories and how to actually convert high ticket sales from that. So it's a lot about building that personal brand by really showing up fully, sharing your personality, sharing your truth. I think a lot of us are, like we talked about, so in our head, and we're so in that perfectionist. And when we show up on our stories or we show up online and we're trying to sell an offer, we're very much, this is the messaging, and these are the slides, and these are the buckets I need to hit. And like, a lot of people don't actually share just their life. And a lot of people actually think it's like unprofessional to share their personality and their life and behind the scenes, or they're like, people aren't going to care about that. And actually that is what people really want to see. And that is what builds those personal connections. Like we just talked about with Taylor Swift, like she's a masterclass in this in herself.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I've actually always done really well and naturally. And I've gotten a lot of questions about like, how do you, like, I binge your stories like a Netflix series. Like, how do you do that? Tell me your secrets. And so I've actually decided to finally break the secrets down and reverse engineer it to show other people how to really tap into your personal brand through the lens of embodiment and expression and all the things that we talked about, because it is really a lot about the worthiness. Do you feel worthy of actually sharing those things? Can you look at yourself as the main character and believe that people care? Can you speak yourself truly and show your personality? And do you even know what your personality is, right? Because your personal brand is not something that you create or craft. It's just something you discover and reveal to the world, right? Like, it already exists in you. It's, can you just share that? So the masterclass is going to be about the secrets to, yeah, building a personal brand and selling on your stories and really converting through that, because many of the high ticket sales that I have made have actually been directly through stories, not even through content, not through DM reach out or sales calls or anything like that, just from people literally swiping up, because you really can build such strong connections there. And I think a lot of women in the online entrepreneurial space know that stories are like this goldmine, but don't quite know how to tap into it. So that's what the masterclass is going to be breaking down. So I'm super, super excited about that. If you are interested, I'm going to be posting about it soon. So you can connect with me on Instagram. It's at John Marie Kawadi, just my full name. And just send me a DM and let me know that you're curious, or just watch my stories, because obviously I'm going to be talking about it a lot on there. Yeah. And that's the easiest way to connect. If you love the episode or anything resonated, reach out. I love to get to know new people, like I said, because with podcasts, like, you guys can hear us, but like, we don't know you. And then I do also have a podcast. It's on a mid-season pause. It's coming back in the fall and it is rebranding. But right now it's called Thriving with John Marie. So you can look it up on Spotify. Like I said, we're not actively posting until fall and when the new season starts, but there are like 50 episodes on there that you can go binge, and they are really good. So go binge those episodes. And yeah, those are the two easiest ways to jump in. Yeah. Love and it. It's all free. So can't wait to connect.
Love it. Yay. Yes, definitely jump in, you guys. We can't wait to hear what you think about this episode, especially since we broke the internet for a minute there. That's how good it is. And we the will frequency see was too you powerful. Next week. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Emily.
That's a wrap on today's podcast episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, or give a 5-star rating on Spotify, depending on where you listen, and share the magic on your socials. Tag me
at I am Emily Gornick
so I can send you some love. To explore more, make sure you check out the links in my show notes. And as always, stay magical, stay powerful, and stay sippin'.